My name is Kat Lee. I'm a partner in the litigation group at Kirkland & Ellis here in Austin, and I primarily do patent and trade secret litigation. I'm honored to be your presiding officer this afternoon, and we are going to start with our first speaker now. Our first speaker is Alexa Hunter. She is a senior associate at Kilpatrick in Denver, Colorado, and she has a bachelor's degree in biochemistry from the University of Delaware, and she got her JD from the University of Pittsburgh. So she focuses on counseling foreign and domestic companies on complex patent portfolios. She also works on freedom to operate opinions and coordinates patent prosecution abroad in foreign jurisdictions for her clients. And today she's going to be talking about the USPTO's Office of Enrollment and Disciplines Rules. Thanks.
Hey. Thank you all. Hey, so I know this is the lunchtime talk, so please feel free to get more food and drinks. I've built a couple of hopefully volunteer participation points in, so don't feel like you're interrupting me if you need to go get another snack or something to drink. And I also know how challenging it is to get ethics credits, especially that don't put you to sleep, so hopefully I've put together something that's just a little more interesting and lighthearted than maybe some of the information we're used to digesting. And so I guess, first of all, where are we going today? We're going to talk about the trends in disciplinary actions, as well as then some case studies in practitioner discipline. And then at the end, time permitting, I have a little activity where hopefully we can all participate to see maybe if you would be kinder or less kind to our practitioner in this case. So first of all, why are we talking about the Office of Enrollment and Discipline? As many of you know, being able to practice before the USPTO means that you have reciprocal disciplinary problems in front of the USPTO if you also are disciplined in front of your state. And so the USPTO has the opportunity to issue final orders and decisions by year. And we were seeing a pretty steady increase through 2019. Something did happen around that time, and that was the diversion pilot program, which started in 2017 and then was finalized in 2003. And what that was it allowed practitioners who were struggling with mental health and substance abuse, as well as more junior practitioners that maybe jumped into solo practice too early, that were experiencing some law practice management issues. What that diversion program did was made those practitioners eligible for training and additional CLEs instead of formal discipline. So a lot of people expected to see a decline in formal disciplinary actions following 2019 when the pilot program went in, and which is what we did start to see. So do we have any guesses? Do we think for 2023, did we see an increase in discipline, a decrease in discipline? Did things stay the same? No guesses? Same? We actually saw a rapid increase in disciplinary actions, which was pretty surprising considering they formalized the program in 2023. So it was a bit surprising, I think, for most. There could be a bit of a hangover here. As you'll see in some of the cases we talk about, it can often take years to be reported to the OED, depending on how long the underlying state action, if any, took to be disclosed or to be finalized. So there could be just a bit of a hangover here, and it's not due to any increase in discipline, but we'll have to find out later. It's just a side note, through October of 2024, only 17 actions have been brought to final order. So we may be seeing kind of the same trend as before 2023. And so as I mentioned earlier, the USPTO does have the exclusive authority to establish qualifications for admitting persons to practice before it and to suspend or exclude them from practicing. Sorry, I know this is the boring part, but this is what gets you the ethics credit for the CLE. The CFR also authorizes the USPTO to establish regulations for governing the conduct of patent attorneys and the agents who practice before it. So for the purposes of this talk, we'll be mainly talking about the disciplinary rules set out in the 37 CFR Rule 11. So we'll start out a little lighthearted and hopefully a way that all of us know we can avoid. One of the easiest ways to be disciplined is to conduct commit a criminal act that reflects adversely on your honesty, trustworthiness, or fitness as a practitioner. And so what does concern a crime that reflects negatively. This could be your MPRE, your standard don't steal your client's money.